So, Father, we thank you today again for your wonderful love and kindness and grace. Lord, we thank you, Lord, how you blessed us. And how, Lord, you moved upon our heart to even come to be in the midst this morning. And I pray you bless all, Lord, that braved the elements and came to be in the midst of your people. We pray that you help and bless us, Lord, with your word and through your word and by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Revelation 15 now, verse 1. We've only got a few more chapters to do. When I say few, that doesn't mean little because it's a few verse by verse. So we'll be still in the book at the beginning of next year sometime. But we're closing in. And then we'll see what the Lord has to do after that. He hadn't given me any instruction. But I remember him saying, start in the book of Matthew and teach all the way through to the book of Revelation. So I said, yes, sir. We made it this far. 15 verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. That sure doesn't sound good.
No.
Chapter 15 is the shortest chapter in the book of the Revelation. Some feel that it should be combined with chapter 16, which tells us about the seven, what they call bold judgments. The King James, I think, calls them vials, but they actually, I believe, speaking about bowls. But chapter 15 appears to show us what will happen in heaven just before the final judgments fall. And so the seven angels having the seven last plagues will be the third of three great signs in heaven. The first sign was the woman that was clothed with the sun. The second sign was the great red dragon, that would be Satan. But here we find seven angels with seven last plagues. This final judgment will bring the full wrath of God and cause the fall of Satan and all of his followers. I don't know about you, but I don't like Satan. I'm pretty much tired of him. But God has a plan.
Amen.
And so we have to just work along with his plan. When these last plagues are over, all of those who have not made a decision or who have chosen God through Jesus will stand with all other unbelievers before the judgment of God. Not going to be a good time. Revelation 15:2 says, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. When it says I saw as it were, it's he's saying, I saw something like. And so you have to remember when John is narrating the things that he's looking at, all he can do is use descriptions of things that he was familiar with. So he said, it looked like it was a sea of glass and there was fire coming out of it. It was something like that. And so he was describing that. This will be the second glassy sea to appear in this book. The first one was as clear as crystal. And I don't know if you remember, I was talking about a sea that was clear as crystal. I mean, crystal is the glasses and, you know, those really beautiful, you know, pieces of work, glass work that people have done, but it's clear. And that's the crystal sea. And so imagine looking and seeing just an expanse of crystal. But it looks like a sea. And you also got to remember that this is prophecy and that we're sitting here right now and we're looking into the future. And this is a different kind of a teaching. We're looking out into the future with these teachings. And so, believe it or not, in some way we're being transported as we study these particular things in this book. And so we just kind of keep in mind that that's what's going on. there will be a second glassy sea to appear in this book. The first one was the one that was clear as crystal, and it speaks of transparency. We need to be transparent.
Amen.
None of us are completely transparent, but we're kind of scared to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people judge, you know, people are rough. People aren't forgiving, y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
Church folks ain't forgiving, especially church folks. You let them know too much, you done, man. I mean, you know, your reputation is shot. You know what I mean? It's like, you should be praying for me. Why are you out there tearing me down like that? I'm telling you what I know. I was looking at his mouth when he said it. He confessed it. He stood up there before God and confessed it. I'm telling you, the boy ain't no good, you know. You're my brother. You're my sister, you know. It would be wonderful to be transparent. I'm pretty transparent, but there's some things I'm never going to tell you, you know, because it won't edify you and it will humiliate me. I wish we could, but, you know, in heaven we'll talk about it then if we want to. But y'all know enough. You know, I tell you things that I can and that will edify and that will build up. And so, but it does speak of transparency, and the more transparent you can be, the freer you are. That means you're not guarding these things. You know, we're guarding. You got to be careful how you talk and careful what you let out. And you go, what did you just say? What I really was trying to say was, I wasn't trying to say it like that. You know, you got to back up and back up and back up and be careful what you let out. And, oh, Lord. Lord, help us. But it does speak of transparency. And this appeared in heaven before the throne, then Revelation 4:6, that crystal sea. And this sea of glass would be mixed with fire, the one we're talking about now. And it usually symbolizes the masses of people. And I've heard it said it symbolizes masses of people. And fire symbolizes judgment. So there are many symbols that we look at, symbols in this book. So fire will symbolize judgment. And when we get to verse 7, this judgment will become clearer when we get there. First, we'll see the tribulation saints come out of the sea of humanity, meaning those that are on the earth at the time, the tribulation saints, they are going to come out of all of the other humanities. They will appear to be mixed in with them after they have been in a fiery persecution. So if you're in the tribulation period and you don't accept Satan's offers or his mark or his name, then they will be in fiery tribulation. And hopefully, I say this, that it won't happen in our generation. Hopefully, I got this thing right. We'll be raptured out and that we won't have to go through this thing. And so that's the tribulation saints coming up out of this type of persecution. As the scripture tells us, these saints will be victorious over the beast, his image. That means he wants you to worship his image. Victorious over his number, which is 666. They will see through the lies of the Antichrist. They'll see through the lies of his false prophet. And through great tribulation and persecution, the tribulation saints will lose their earthly lives, but will gain an eternal one. Under grace, salvation is given, and it's given very freely. Under the present administration where we are now, we are saved by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We're saved by what Jesus did. If you have not accepted Jesus, I implore you, accept him as Lord and Savior, because really this life is your only opportunity to get saved. There ain't no salvation after death. Ain't no changing your mind after death. Now is the time. If you don't know him, now is the time to accept the Lord Jesus and be saved by his blood. Those that are not saved when they die will die and remain in that condition until the judgment of God comes. There ain't no fixing it. There ain't no changing it. There ain't no talking your way out of it. That's now's the time to do it. And so it's a very serious thing. God gives us ample opportunity to accept him, especially in this life. Ample opportunity. This verse tells us that these tribulation saints will have harps. And folks say, oh man, heaven sounds like it's going to be a very boring place. All we're going to do is sit on clouds and play harps all day. So the harps, these saints will be equipped with instruments of music. So, you know, I kind of thought about that, you know. Have you ever heard a really nice piece of music? Doesn't have to be church music. It could be jazz if you like jazz. I like jazz, you know. But they'd be grooving in there. You know, and they're grooving, you know, somebody like Grover Washington, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they'd be grooving, yeah, man. I could listen to him forever, you know what I mean? He don't inspire me in Christ, but the man can go, you know. And a real great piece of music, especially your favorite instrument. Now, mine is a saxophone. I love an alto saxophone. You know, oh man, you know, you give me an alto saxophone and I throw dollars at them all day, you know. Really, the musician plays so good that, you know, you ever wish that you could just be in there and just play right along with them. If I could only play a sax right now, I'd join right in, you know. And I say this perhaps being related with the tribulation saints having musical instruments. You know, the music of heaven. If you just only imagine now, heaven, and we talk about it, but if just imagine heaven, not earth, but heaven, no pain, no worry, no troubles, no death, no hard times, no heat of the sun, no sickness, no anything. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place of existence. There are no stops. There's no decay. Everything is perfect. There is light. And it's everywhere, but it's not a hot light. The light is all-encompassing. The place is infused. The Bible says Jesus is the light of heaven. And it's infused with his light. And this light is so all-encompassing that it doesn't even cast a shadow. Because it's all around. In order for a light to cast a shadow, it needs to be coming from a direction. And then the shadow is cast. But in heaven, the light is such that it's all around, so there are no shadows because it's here, it's here, it's here, it's all around. Not even a shadow is cast in heaven. And imagine pure sound. Imagine pure, if we breathe, pure air. Imagine just wonderful, wonderful, beyond help in heaven. Just imagine that. And then imagine the music of heaven. Our music is measured. It starts and it stops somewhere. The music of heaven is not measured. It's hard to describe something that you have to hear with your ears. And it's probably hard for you to imagine. Only the Holy Ghost will be able to open up your understanding with this. But this music in heaven is beautiful, is a poor word to use to describe this music. It's beyond that. It'll get in you, it'll be in you, it'll go through you, it'll move you. It works, it does what music is supposed to do, you know. And this is what we'll it's just one of the many benefits of existing in heaven. Just one of the many benefits that's before us. If you know Jesus, heaven is your home. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. You see, heaven is your home. What you do in this life determines basically your rewards or your loss.
Amen.
It doesn't determine whether you're going to heaven. Oh my goodness, I cussed. I hope I'm not going to hell now. Doesn't work like that. God just gonna deal with you for cussing.
Amen.
You okay? He's just going to deal with you for that because you're my child. I told you don't act like that. I ain't no wuss yet. Let's go. Let's go. You know, he's just going to deal with you for disobedience. That's just, you know, and y'all could call me and all the pastor, I'm in trouble again. I'm like, go on and take it because, you know. You see, so that's the thing. It's just a matter of rewards or loss. That's what we're still dealing with in this life. It's not, no, I hope I don't send myself out of heaven. Or I hope I can get good enough to send myself into heaven. There's no goodness good enough to get anyone in heaven. It's all what God does. And it's all according to his grace. So thank God for that. But you just be cognizant of that. your life on this earth determines your rewards, or it determines loss. There will be loss. I'm going to experience loss. I mean, it's, you know, if the works aren't right, it says that it's going to, you'll be saved, yet it's by fire. That means something about fire. Sounds like you're going to pass through walk fire or something to me, saved by fire. And it's like, well, okay, come on in, but you got to come through that door. It's like, Lord, that's fire. Yeah. You come right through that door, and your works going to follow you. And you're going through the door, and your works is following you, and you going through the door, you hear, moof. That's a bad something just went up in flame. And what's left is what will follow you in. And so I've always said there are going to be some beautiful flames at my time when I go in, you know, because there's some, there are some works that are going to make some beautiful colors that will follow me in. So, and I mean, it, what's done is done. You know what I mean? It's all I can do is work with what's ahead. Y'all listen to me. What's done is done. Amen. What's done is done. Amen. You failed. Whoopee-doo. What's done is done. You can't change what's done. If you want to try to fix it and say, I'm sorry, okay, but what's done is done. But you can deal with what's ahead.
Amen.
A little louder.
Amen.
One more time.
Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Amen.
Don't condemn yourself.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Children, don't condemn yourself. Just do better on an ongoing basis. There we go. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And he's still talking about these tribulation saints, I believe. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. It's mentioned music will be a part of the redemption experience. These tribulation saints will be singing. They're going to be singing like we do. I love to sing. Singing opened many doors in my life. Matter of fact, because I can sing, I got into college singing. I auditioned. And I went to this audition and I sung a couple of words from the Beatles song yesterday. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. And the man said, that's it, sit down, next. And I thought he was kicking me out. But he'd heard enough. No sense wasting time, sit down, next. And at the end, he said, the names I call, y'all stay. The rest of y'all, thank you for your time. And my name was one of the calls. So that got me into college. I met my wife singing. Music has been a wonderful blessing in my life. God called me to be an evangelist minister of music. I've been singing all of my life. Music is special. And so now we got the tribulation saints singing. Hey, I'm going to be at home. Robbie, we're going to be at home. Because we are in the midst right now of a singing ministry. Amen. Your preacher is a singer. You know, amen. I'm a singer. And we sing.
Yeah.
And you ain't got to sound like Florence Nightingale or whoever that was. You just sing from your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Just sing. Just open up and sing from your heart. And God will reach in there and he'll take that blessing. And he'll take the fact that you're blessing him from your heart, you see. Because it's the heart that he looks at. Well, hallelujah. Oh, they sung a new song. The tribulation saints will sing two songs. One will be the song of Moses and the other one will be what's called the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is found in the Old Testament and it's found in Exodus 15. It celebrates the victory that God gave Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. Pharaoh's army, insane Pharaoh, chased after them, but all of Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea, trying to overcome God's people. I still don't know what Pharaoh was thinking. God had whipped him with 9 plagues. 9 straight plagues. And this one after his son died, he's coming after the children of Israel, coming after them, and God takes them down into the Red Sea, the seabed. He's got the water of the sea standing up on either side for his children to come through. What made Pharaoh think God was going to hold the water open for him? What made him think that God was going to let he wasn't thinking. The man was crazy, y'all. He was insane. I would have come to the bank and said, now let's see, now wait a second. Now let's see, 9 times. He has defeated me 9 times, and this is the 10th one. What are the odds that I'm going to make it through that sea? Say, well, they got away. But you know what he did? Down into the sea there. Yeah, here. He didn't go. His army went. Oh, crazy fellow. He wasn't that crazy. He wasn't that crazy. He said, y'all, get him. You know, and sit them down there, and they drowned in the seabed. That was insane. I would have been the one defector sitting on the side of the seabed. I wouldn't have went back to Egypt, but you know, because they would have killed me for sure. But, you know, and that's the song that, and there's a song that in Exodus 15 where they were, the words of the song is there. And then the song of the Lamb is found here in this particular verse in Revelation 15. And it celebrates God's reign over all nations. The words of this song says this in verse 3. Exodus of Revelation 15:3. It says, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of kings. Well, they're singing. So can you imagine them singing? Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord. Da, 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 da. And then they're singing this, you know. And that's that. And they're going to be singing that song. In Exodus 15:4, it says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. It's becoming more and more rare to hear people speak of Jesus with reverential fear. More and more rare. It is important, very important now and in heaven to have and to express reverence for him. For three reasons. There's three reasons we should continually reverence Jesus. Number one, he's the only one to live by all of God's standards. He kept everything God required. He's the only one who is worthy of worship. He never sinned. He never sinned. And this qualified him and him alone to be set apart as an atonement for sin. He was unique and the only one to accomplish these things. Number two, the day will come when he will deal with the godless leaders of this world. He will do away with them, and every nation will worship him and him only. And number three, all of his righteous acts will be revealed. All of the judgments of the tribulation period will be righteous acts of Jesus. Everything that he does, all of the bloodshed, all of the plagues will be righteous acts. Hard to imagine that being righteous, but it will be righteous because God is a righteous God. He's a merciful God. He's been patient to us. And then he's given them more than ample time to repent and to accept him. He's given them more, all types of warnings to not come. It's amazing how men will use the name of God in vain. And I was thinking this morning, and it was kind of breaking it down. I guess the Spirit was breaking it down for me a little more. You know how men use the G-D word? God, D-A-M-N-E-D. They use the G-D word all the time. And, you know, and, okay, so many people in the world, they use the GD word. Which God are they talking about? They can't be talking about your God because they don't know your God. If they're unsaved, they're not. So I shouldn't get offended when they say GD, because number one, you don't even know my God. You can't be talking about my God. And if I want to engage them, I might say, well, which God are you talking about? Well, you know, which God are you talking about? Because you ain't talking about Jesus. Because, you know, do you know Jesus? Because if you know Jesus, you won't say that. And if you know Jesus and you saying that, you need to stop it. Because God is not D. And I abbreviate it because I don't need to keep saying it up here.
Right.
But God is not D. But every other God is. So if they say it, you can say absolutely correct. If you don't know Jesus, then whatever God you D in, you are so right. He is.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And you would tell a man, amen, brother, you're right. Mm-hmm. Your God is D. I don't know if you want to use all those terms, no, but you know, might be a fight. But just kind of keep that in mind, because it's easy to get offended when people say that. Because you're a Christian, so you don't talk about God like that. It's like, well, the question is, which God are they talking about? Drill down, because the truth is that they don't even know your God, so they're not talking about your God. Talking about another God.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll chew on that for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about another God. I know, so you're really getting very philosophical, you know. Well, okay. It can save you some trouble down the road, you know, if you think some of this stuff through. And you say, wait a minute, why am I getting mad with the old sinful, nasty, cigar-smoking, cussing, sinning man, because he's cussing his own God? Why am I getting mad for him cussing his own God? He's doing God's job, you know. You cussing your own God, man. I mean, if you engage, I don't think I go that far, but if it ever goes that way, you got that ammunition. You say, you're not talking about my God. Because there's no, I reverence my God. I reverence Jesus. I don't put him down. I can't put him down. I could try, but I can't. He could put me down. But I don't put him down. And you don't want to be caught using that kind of language.
Amen.
Let no filth communication come out your mouth. Be very careful. Be very careful with that. Peter and Paul Alon wrote in their book, The Mark of the Beast. They said, according to opinion polls, an overwhelming majority of North Americans believe they will spend eternity in heaven. That's about 93% to 95%. Of the people in North America. So yet it is obvious from the moral decay and decadence in the West that such a majority do not have the love of Christ in their hearts. In other words, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's saying, if you want to go and make it true biblically. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many people give God lip service, but their lives doesn't show it. This thing should flow through and should show up in your life and not just here.
Amen.
To trick me.
Amen.
Because me and you going through that same fire thing.
Right.
I can't help you if I get through and you coming behind me. Don't go, Pastor, can you help me? I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to give you some directions. Come right through that door. just come right on through, you know. But you know what God sees? And he hears. And you can hide stuff from me, which it's to no avail to you. But you're still doing it before God.
Amen.
Don't let Pastor know. You know what he might say. Don't let Pastor know. Yeah, man, I know more than you think I know. I don't tell you everything I know. I don't tell you everything God shows me. Sometimes he says, shut your mouth. He said, I know. I'm looking right at him. You know, the one who matters knows. What I don't know, that's fine. But the one who matters knows. All right? When you're doing your little thingy, you know. The one that matters already knows.
Amen.
So,
oh, yeah.
Run with that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 15:5 says, "And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened." So the heavenly temple will be opened, which contains the Holy of Holies, which we see in the Old Testament, and the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments, also called the Law or the Testimony. And as you know, that God had told Moses, "I want you to build a tabernacle, I want you to build a temple after the pattern of things that I showed you in the mount," when he was 40 days and 40 nights with God in the mount. God gave him instructions on how to build this temple when he was in the mount. And but the instructions and the blueprint that God gave him was a blueprint of a temple or a tabernacle that really does exist in heaven. And as we look through the book of Revelation, we see in the book the very same articles that Moses did on the earth. So he built the tabernacle that the Israelites worshiped in on earth based upon the pattern of the real sanctuary that's in heaven. There is a heavenly sanctuary where Jesus is the high priest. And Moses, of course, did that down here. So they were doing types and shadows, and they were interacting. And I think what God was using them to preserve, he was using Israelites to preserve the seed. To preserve the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. Because the seed of the woman came down through Israel. And straight on down through the tribe of Judah, and was conceived in Mary, who was a little Jewish girl. And Israel was there doing all of their worship and all of their spiritual service, and they thought that they were living high on the hog and that they were gods, and you know, God was just using them. But God has right now catapulted us ahead of them, but he hasn't forgot them. So remember to pray for Israel. Whatever you do, don't malign Israel, because they still in God's mind to bless them and save them. But you know, it's, listen, when I see a Jew, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because of you and your people I have my Lord. Jesus came down through the Jews. He was a Jew. And so when I see a Jew, I get a little excited. And they don't get it. Like, what? What's the deal? You know, it's like, man, you know, boy, you should be proud. Oh, man. You guys, oh, man. You know, and I'm like, oh. And a lot of them are, man. And it's the, yeah. Well, the Bible says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So that's, they're partially blind. But it's for our good. It's for us. Amazing what God is doing.
Amen.
We should be just praising and worshiping him for that. Amen. Because he loves Israel. But he's holding that back. And there are Jews that are saved, because the first church was a Jewish church. It wasn't a Gentile church. Peter was a Jew. It was a Jew that preached that first sermon that got 3,000 people saved. It was Peter that preached. And it was a Jewish church. And then they started coming, bringing in. He went to Cornelius' house and he preached to Cornelius and those of his household. These were Greeks. You know, these were Gentiles, and they spake in tongues, and they got saved. So, well, listen, God has opened the door for Gentiles. And so it wasn't just a Jewish thing. It was a Jewish, and God was open to all mankind. And so we got to remember that and the role that they played. All who reject the grace and the mercy offered by God through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ will be judged under the law. Under the Ten Commandments, if you will. What most don't understand is that by rejecting Jesus Christ, they leave themselves open to be judged by and to be judged under the law or the righteousness of the law of Moses from the Old Testament. The only other standard that God has besides Jesus to judge men is the law. The law of Moses. And everyone outside of Christ, when they come before judgment, the law will be the standard that they'll be judged by. That's not a good standard to be judged by.
No.
All the law does, and you know, I've been talking in this for years and years. When a man tries to keep the law, all he is doing is confirming his sinfulness. Because that's all the law does. It points to your sinfulness. And so, folks, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. Dude, except Jesus, man. He kept the law. And then have rest in him. You can't find rest under the law. And folks say, you know, churches are teaching the law. You got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. All you're going to do is continually see just how bad you are and how much you need a Savior. No one gets saved under the law. That's the thing God is going to use to judge people with, the law. You say, well, now, hold on, wait a minute. Now, what about people that have not heard about Jesus Christ? Well, he's going to judge the system that they lived under by his law. So he'll take the system and put it up to the law and just, how well did you live by the law that you knew?
Not well.
You know. And this is just my guess. It's just my good guess of it. You know, maybe it's in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. But this is just my best gleaning of it. That God is a loving God, but he's also a just God. And he's also a righteous God. And his judgments will not be unrighteous. And you'll not be able to say that God was unfair in his judgments. Because he didn't give me a break for this. And he gives us every opportunity today to accept his love in our lives.
Yes.
But how much time do you have to live?
I don't know.
You don't know. You could have 20 years. You could have 2 years. You could have 2 days. No one knows. But I can tell you, if you don't have Christ when you die, you are stuck in that condition.
Yeah.
And we don't know. A little something can crawl up your nose and embed itself in your brain, and you don't know nothing about it. And you get up the next morning fishing breakfast and fall flat out and go into a coma.
Wow.
And it can happen just like that.
Yeah.
A little worm or something can get there. A little something, you could breathe in a little something in your mouth, or a little virus thing. You know, someone, you're walking, I mean, listen, I'm not trying to gross you out, but you could walk in a building, someone that's got some bug could have come in just before you, and then you walk right through it. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? And in it goes.
Yeah.
And that afternoon, you know, I'm not feeling so good. Mm-hmm. What happened? Did you eat? Yeah, I had breakfast. But you've been drinking water? Yeah, I've been drinking water. Did you take your medicine? I took everything else. I don't feel so good. It can be just like that, too. That's why you need to get this thing right while you can. Am I?
Sorry.
Am I trying to scare you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to shake you. I want to shake you, you know. And I want you to know that a long life is not promised to anyone. It's appointed once unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. So as soon as a baby is born, it's appointed for that child to die. And you go, oh, this child has his life before him. He ain't even made it out of the delivery room yet. They're going, come on, baby, come. They got the child, they're running to another sterile condition. Running. You know, they're trying to make sure that this stuff don't get to this child before they can get it cleaned up and get it sterilized and get all this stuff out their nose.
Right.
It'll suffocate. You know, make sure that the pressure's right. Make sure the blood is okay. Make sure that the eyes, they got all the fingers, all the toes. Make sure they don't got a water head. You know, the craziness that kids are born with. You know, they got them. Do they have Down syndrome? Is this child is okay, you know, mentally? And all of that in the first hour or so of that child's life, they're trying to keep this child going because that child could die in the delivery room.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you made it this far is a wonderful blessing. God has given you grace. Mm-hmm. He's given you grace this far. And you still cutting the fool? Mm-hmm. Y'all still acting up. You know, God has blessed you, and you're going to take what he's given you and mess over it. Mm-hmm. All right? Am I fussing? I guess I'm fussing.
No.
I don't know.
Speak holy ghost.
Lord, it's just.
But you're right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Amen. And we're cutting a fool, man. Listen, it's not promised. Whatever you are, and when you die, that's what you stay for eternity. Mm-hmm. There's no changing. There's no fixing. That's it. Done. And boy, a man in hell to me is an anomaly. Because the Bible clearly says that hell was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. Do you know how they're going to talk about a man in hell, the devils and the angels? They're going to say, hey, go to idiot.
Little dummy.
They go to dummy. With his boys, with his dumb boys, they in hell. They ain't got sense enough to know. Hey, you know, they got the word. We ain't got no choice. We got to be here. We're the fallen angels. But old dummy came and called himself crashing the party. Y'all go sit over there with the other dummies. Don't get away from around. Y'all stupid. Got no business here. This thing was not made for you fools.
Yeah.
They're going to be harassed horribly in hell, man.
You want this?
Yeah. You didn't listen. He gave you the opportunity. The preachers, we watched the preacher. Matter of fact, we fought the preacher. We was there fighting so that you were. You dumb idiot. It's a special town for the dummies. We don't want y'all around us. Dumb men. Revelation 15:6. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts or chests. Now, you say breast, boy, folks go, ooh. Put sexual connotations on it. Talking about the chest. Have to straighten it up nowadays. People are so messed up. Girded with golden girdles. No, not like a woman's girdle. It's bands, all right?
I thought that at first.
They're wearing girdles like a plaintex girdle? No, it's bands. They got bands around it. These angels were mentioned in the first verse of this chapter. They will come out of the temple. They'll be dressed in pure white linen, signifying their righteousness, and with golden bands around their chests, which signifies their royal priesthood. They will be priestly angels. These seven angels will meet out the final judgment of God, showing his great wrath. It will cause the fall of Satan, along with all of those who follow him. When this last judgment comes, this thing is going to be so powerful that it will even take Satan and his followers out. That's what we're looking at now. So we're moving right along here. Revelation 15:7 says, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials or bowls full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. First, the four beasts will summon the four horsemen in Revelation. That was the first time you saw the four beasts in operation. Summon the four horsemen in Revelation. In this verse that we're looking at now, one of the beasts will summon the seven angels of God's wrath. The seven angels will receive seven bowls. They're called vials in the King James Version, but they're really bowls. Filled with the wrath or the anger of God, preparing to dump them on the earth. Now, a vial and a bowl is different. A vial is, it might be a more of a, up like this. When you empty it out, it goes blop, 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 slowly empty out. So vial is not really a good interpretation. But a bowl, when you empty a bowl out, it all just goes out. And it comes out very, very quickly. And that's how God's wrath is going to be. When it comes out, it's going to come quickly. It's not going to be a little drips of it. It's going to hit. And it's, when it hit, it's going to hit hard. And that's why we use bowls, just because of the way things pour out of them. And Revelation 15:8, and the thing is, he's been so patient with man. All the way up until what we're talking about, which hopefully is down the road. He's been very patient with man. So when the judgment comes, man has no excuse. None. No, not none. And this is why it's important for us to share with our generation what's in the book of the Revelation, because we may or may not be here down the road. Yeah. And encourage them to pass it on to the next generation, and encourage them to continue to pass this word down. So when that generation is on the earth, if they happen to be, if they haven't gotten saved, they will have this information. Don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. It'll be more costly than taking the mark. And hopefully we pass it down to the generation that those that get it will receive Christ and get saved, which is really, it's so important that men are saved, because even if you don't live to participate in what we're studying here, if a man dies outside of Christ, he still has God's judgment ahead. Amen. And whatever condition he dies in is the condition that he will stand before God in. And so he's still going to be judged. And so it's so very important that men are saved while they're on this earth. Amen. Revelation 15:8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The indication is that things will only get worse after a certain point. Today we enjoy life under the grace of God. It's hard to imagine a time when this grace will be moved from men. Your hardest time in life right now is still nowhere near as hard as it'll be during this time, because you're still under the grace of God. There's always a remedy for your problem. You always seem to find the answer somehow, some way. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but somehow you always seem to find the response. You always seem to find the answer. And it's because we're living under grace. This gets harder for some and harder for others, and not so hard for others. But because of his grace, we always seem to get the remedy or find the answer. It's hard to imagine not being able to find a remedy, but to find the answer, to not have God's grace. Men take God's grace for granted. Rather than humbly thank and praise him for it, many arrogantly act as though God is obligated to love them. That's how some act. Like God is obligated. Yeah, he got to love me. Really? Keep that up. The temple in heaven is still open. It's still available. And the mercy seat is still available for men. Ain't no smoke in there. It's nothing to stop men from coming to receive God's mercy. A day is coming where all of this will change when God's priestly angels leave the temple. It'll be filled with smoke from the glory and power of a just and righteous God. And so we, you know, folks gonna want to try to judge God for his judgment. It's like, you need to think this through, my friend. You had ample opportunity. Ample opportunity. So you could be mad all you want. It won't change God. Amen. There'll be no going back. Once this thing happens, no going back. No one will be able to change their mind or access the mercy of God. A life without God's mercy. Really? No more mercy. No more delays. No more opportunities to repent until the seven plagues are passed. That's a horrible time to exist in. But that time will exist one day. This is a warning to those who live on the earth that won't listen to the pleas of God that's being made through his messengers. God is really pleading with men through his messengers. He is pleading with men to listen to his word and to his messages. But they won't listen. the 144,000 Jews during that time that will be loosed on the earth to preach. There will be those two witnesses that will witness and go until God is through with them. No one will be able to stop them. The Antichrist won't be able to, false prophet, the devil won't be able to stop them until God is through with them during this time period. And God still takes them up to heaven. He even would have angels preaching the message during this time. And even though angels don't preach now, men preach. But that'll be different then. He'll even have angels proclaiming the message to repent and to change and to accept what God is doing. At some point in the tribulation period, God will say, it's over. He will reach his end. He will say, it's over. The destiny of unbelievers will be sealed forever.
Amen.
He will pour out his wrath, block the way to the mercy seat, and refuse to hear the cries of those asking for one more chance. There's coming a day when it's going to be done. And even in our life, God gives us warnings. He gives us indication. He'll direct you in traffic. I was driving one day. I'm going to go this way. When I got to the point where I could turn, I'll turn right. I'm going, what was that about, Lord? I didn't mean to turn right, but whatever was up there, he didn't want me to go. That doesn't happen often. But for some reason, that happened. So I'm like, okay, I'm taking note. I'm going to watch what goes on down this way. And so sometimes he'll intervene like that. But most times he's speaking to you on the inside. You got to learn to listen. You got to learn to listen. You never really know just how much what you are doing has the influence that he wants you to have. You notice one little pebble in the water causes so many ripples. Just one little pebble, you go, boop, and it ripples all around. And so you can never negate the importance of your actions and your obedience to God. Y'all learn to obey him.
Amen.
It will mean all the difference. It'll mean a lot to me, even though I might not directly benefit from it. But what influenced you influenced me. And what influenced me influenced you. And it might be kind of transitive and might not be able to really concretely grab a hold to it, but we're of the same family. And so we affect each other. You see, it's directly indirect. But just learn to obey him. I labor for you. For you to hear his voice, for you to obey him. But I can't make you do anything because it's not my place and pretty much not my business what you do. You know, it's your life to live. But all I can do is just share and just give you what the Lord places in my heart and remain hopeful and just continue to pray for you. I think it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this chapter. And we look forward to the next. And then we look forward to the next until we are finished with the book of the Revelation. And we do know that it gets better for us. It doesn't get worse. It gets better.
Yeah.
And we look forward to one day, Lord, you either coming or we going. But either way, we know that it's going to be all good in your kingdom.
Yeah.
Bless those that came, those, Lord, that pressed their way. Bless those, Lord, that could not make it, and help them also. And whatever circumstances held them back, we pray that you would touch them in those circumstances and be with them and help them. And in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.